If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
He kōna i purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Piki mai kake mai and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ with me, Alison Balance. Rats are one of nature's survivors. There are three species of introduced rats in New Zealand, and ship rats and Norway rats have made themselves right at home everywhere, from the deepest forest to inner city suburbia. Most research about rat behaviour has been carried out in the bush, and we don't know a lot about what rats get up to in the city. That's something that Victoria University of Wellington student Henry McKenzie is trying to rectify. He's radio tracking rats to find out how far they move. Of course, the first step in working out the home range of a suburban rat is to catch some rats.
So we've got around 25 live capture traps in Roseneath right now, all baited with apple and a bit of hazelnut spread, which apparently rats love. And then
so
it's just a waiting game.
The traps are just in people's gardens, are they?
They are, yeah. So we've been lucky enough to have a bunch of participants through the PECAN project, People, Cities and Nature. And yeah, they've been kind enough to sort of have me in their back gardens catching rats, and they seem very sort of enthusiastic about it, which is awesome.
Excellent. And I have come to join you today because you have one of the rats.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Subject number 22, of nicknaming Larry.
What kind of rat is it?
He's a ship rat, around 150 grams, so sort of adult size.
And a boy?
We haven't yet found that out. That's why we've got the vet, Craig, to come down and do that.
Now, while the vet is walking in our direction, you are mixing some blue paste up in a little plastic pottle. Why and what?
So this is platinum blonde hair dye, which we're using to mark the rats. So each rat is marked with a sort of unique pattern, so we can identify each subject and then use this for capture mark recapture studies that we're doing alongside this project.
What kind of pattern are you going to bleach this one?
So he's getting two stripes, top left and top right.
How is he?
He's good. He's fully recovered. So this guy had a rough start, actually. When I found him, he was super cold, all huddled up, and sort of I ran back and got him on this heat pad. And he seems to be fairly bright, and he's taken some apple and some hazelnut spread. So, yeah, I think we're kind of good to go.
I think the thing that we've really tried with this project is to ensure that we do look after the welfare of the individual rats, because it's important for them as an individual animal, but also for the project. So we want to learn as much as we can and get as much information, and we want to ensure that we safely anaesthetise these animals. Henry can do the tricky part of putting the radio tracking collar on, and then we can wake the rat up. And it's been really fun working together with Henry, and this is a really great way to export our skills as veterinarians and wildlife and zoo veterinarians, and use it in a real practical way in the field for conservation. So yeah, we're really thrilled to be a part of it.
So these are my shiny new live capture traps.
He's joking, listeners.
Yeah.
They're quite old and rusty.
So we have to be quite inventive with our approach as well. So we've come up and made our own induction chamber out of a clear click-clack box. And then we've looked at different ways of anaesthetising the rats, from more sophisticated approaches to quite a simple field approach, which you'll see shortly.
So had you worked with rats before, Craig?
I have not, actually, so it's been an interesting project for me. I mean, obviously my focus has been conservation. Been really fortunate to work with an amazing range of species, including endangered wildlife like kakapo. So, yeah, in my mind, the rats, you know, they've definitely sort of been public enemy number one. Strangely, through this process, in an unusual way, you do get a little bit attached to them. But you know, hopefully the knowledge gained from this project will help with more effective trapping and will support native species.
So we'll also be recording sort of gender and then sort of body length and tail length as well.
Being a shipwreck, you expect a long tail.
Yeah, that's one of the identifiers, a longer tail than the body length. And then also they have much larger ears, a pointier nose as well, yeah, and a lot smaller.
So you've caught just ship rats, or have you caught both ship and Norway
rats?
We've
caught a couple monster Norways, haven't we, Craig? Maybe about 300 grams plus. Big guys.
I'm going to put some more tape over here so we can block up that.
Okay. Hole. So I often have to kind of resize the collars because they're often too big.
So how big's the transmitter itself?
Pretty small, tip of your pinky sort of thing. Yeah, and they don't seem to mind it at all. They seem not to notice it, which is good.
So normally, Alison, what you'll see is the rat will be in the live capture trap, and then we'll put them into the click-clack container. And then what we do is we've got cotton wool balls, and we've got an anaesthetic gas called isoflurane, which is soaked in the cotton wool balls, and we put that into the click-clack container, and then the vapour or the gas diffuses in the container. Obviously, the rat inhales the gas and then falls to sleep.
So that's the sound of Jerry drilling an extra hole in the collar, just in case it's needed. It doesn't have an antenna sticking out, or is that what the collar does?
So yeah, the actual the brass collar is actually the antenna. So there's a bit of an excess.
Nice one. How long does the battery last on that thing?
About a year. Yeah.
Oh, so you could follow these rats for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. But, you know, thankfully my master's over in March, so, yeah.
Look at it, he's actually eating in there.
Yeah.
He's very comfortable.
Yeah.
He's not stressed. We've actually been really surprised by the behaviour of the rats, because they've actually been remarkably relaxed. And 99% of them, when we have put the isoflurane into the chamber, have gone to sleep very peacefully, and then they've woken up really quickly once we take the cotton wool out of the chamber as well. So hopefully that's the same situation with this one here today.
Well, it certainly looks very relaxed there. It's having a little groom, it's been having a bit of apple.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll just open up a corner of the container. I'll put a few cotton wool balls in there, and then we'll just monitor and wait to see how the rat responds. See how they're quite inquisitive. They tend to go up to the cotton wool ball and actually sniff them.
I wonder if that's a feature of urban rats, who are used to things appearing constantly in their environment, as opposed to something in the bush, which is used to the bush being the bush and might be a bit more scared of new things. Oh. Your thoughts, Stephen?
Yeah, the urban environment's quite diverse and quite different from the forest, and there's some research being done on a variety of invasive species that showed that the ones that are quite bold and inquisitive often have an advantage, yeah, especially going into new environments.
So once it's sufficiently dozy, you just have to quickly weigh, measure, put the collar on.
Yeah, very quickly.
Okay. You can see it's actually quite fiddly.
Very fiddly.
Yeah, so I can feel some testicles there, some testicles. So it's a boy.
Sorry, how much did that weigh, Henry?
175 grams. So he's big for a ship, right?
So a couple of platinum blonde stripes going on.
Yeah.
There'll be cameras everything up around the gardens, and that's part of the reason for marking them, that the stripes will show up on the trail cameras.
Put him on a towel. We just monitor him.
And it's already coming around.
Yeah.
We should start to wake up.
They come around pretty fast, usually.
So for people who don't know Wellington, Roseneath is an inner city suburb up above Oriental Bay. Why did you choose that as a suburb?
So that was one of our pecan sites. And I kind of shot out an email to all these people, and Roseneath was probably the most sort of enthusiastic of all the suburbs.
Yeah, so it's a suburb, it's an interesting one. Because it's steep and gullies, there's a lot of sort of rough bush in it. You know, roadside verges that are covered in scrub and trees.
Yeah, and it's been quite a productive site in terms of being able to catch a number of rats. So we've caught 10 rats from this area. And with the PECAN project, Henry referred to as the People, Cities and Nature, for the last 2 years we've been monitoring 8 different suburbs in backyards, bush reserves and kind of more open amenity spaces. And we've got two sites in Miramar Peninsula, two suburbs in Miramar, and six in the rest of the city. And of course, all this is taking place in the context of the eradication of rats and stoats from Miramar Peninsula.
So what do you already know about the rats and Roseneath?
Well, I guess we just know there's a reasonable number of them, although the numbers in the urban centres don't seem to be as high as in the bush. So this year's a mast year, and you might hear stories about rat numbers getting up to 80%, 90%, 100% tracking rate. So far, the tracking rates in urban areas have been around 20% or lower.
Mm. Yeah, the Roseneath rats tend to be a little larger than the Brooklyn rats, which is another one of our sites. I couldn't tell you why, but yeah, significantly bigger rats, maybe because there's a lot more green spaces in Roseneath.
Yeah, and there's a suspicion that urban rats might have much smaller home ranges than the home range of a bush rat or a rat in the bush. And so a lot of the ecology we know about rats is from the forest, and so we're trying to find out if their behaviour and their home ranges is different or their densities is different, and that can inform attempts to eradicate rats from urban centres.
So this guy's woken up fine. He's quite a character. He's decided to tunnel underneath the tail, make a little hidey spot for himself. But I'm really happy with the way that he's woken up, so yeah, go ahead and release him back to the site.
Cool.
So we have relocated to Roseneath.
We've actually already got a rat at number 47, collared.
So this is the second one.
Interesting, yeah, 47. Bit of overlap in home ranges.
It's 47, and it's Wellington, so it's got a flight of stairs down, a long flight.
So I guess I'll,
exactly,
yeah.
The same place.
Yeah, that is the plan.
Oh, a very perky rat. And it was off very quickly into the undergrowth. Okay, we'll be back to see where it's got to.
Yeah, when will we do that? In a week or so? Come with me?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, cool.
It's a few days later and Henry and I have agreed to meet up actually during the day. For the first time he's going to see where the rats are during the daytime. Good morning.
Morning.
This is all your radio tracking gear.
This is, yeah.
So you've got a receiver and
so
an aerial.
I've got my receiver, my Yagi antenna.
Right, so normally you go tracking at night time, but we are going to do some daytime tracking.
Yeah, exciting. So we're going to hopefully find some nesting sites for some of the ship rats and Norway rats.
So how many rats have you got around here with radio transmitters on?
So we've got a total of 10 in Roseneath. Yeah, these rats are taking up a big portion of my life these days. I usually have a couple of stations. They have a good amount of high ground, a decent range with my antenna.
So which one's Larry? Because you nicknamed the last rat
Larry. Larry the Lazarus rat, yeah. He was number 22. Subjects 17, 20 and 22 are kind of fairly interesting because they're all overlapping in home ranges. I've picked up locations of them when they're within maybe 5 or 10 metres of each other, which is interesting. Okay, so we're at number 57. This is home of Larry the Lazarus Rat. He had a pretty tough time, but he managed to kind of bring it back and, yeah.
And he's still going.
And he's still going, exactly.
So I've just switched to recording on my phone because my nice, lovely sound recorder is interfering with the tracking device. Any joy?
So we've got someone, subject 22. Get up.
Yep, so the quiet beeping that tells us you've got a signal.
So it's pretty close. We've got him again, 110 degrees. He looks like he's just in that tree there, possibly. First sort of location for a ship rat nest.
So we're just going to head in for a closer look in this garden.
A lot of steps and rows, yeah.
So we've just come a bit closer to the tree where we are getting the signal from that ship rat. So it's hanging out in there somewhere. You talk about ship rats having a nest.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
They tend to be arboreal, so up in trees or in roofs. So they have sparrow-like nests that they make up using dead leaves, things like that.
So hence that expression. It's looking like a rat's nest.
Yeah.
Well, I can't see it.
Yeah, can't quite spot it yet.
Hello, rat. We're on to you. But you're doing a very good job of hiding.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think that's why people go for their entire lives without necessarily even realising that they have rats in their back garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're pretty cryptic.
Yeah, pretty camouflaged, that's for sure. Just there is where I found my first Norway rat in the compost bin.
That's a good place for a rat to hang out.
Yeah, lots of food.
So what can you tell me about this Norway rat? What does it get up to at night?
So stays very close to where I caught him, in the compost bin. Picked him up several times within, you know, a couple metres of the compost bin. Yeah, so I guess that sort of urban myth about compost rats holds true.
Why go further afield if everything you need is close at home? So you're expecting that during the daytime he's probably not that far away either.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So you've had a good sweep around, but you're not getting a signal from the Norway rat.
Yeah, we're not picking up anything.
So you thought it might have been in the compost bin?
Thoughts, yeah, but
no such
I don't think so, yeah.
I noticed in that compost bin, though, there's a trail camera. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Got a couple camera traps around here.
So it's got some dyed markings in its fur, so you can guarantee it's the correct rat.
Exactly, yeah. And we've got kind of different patterns for each of our subjects, so we can identify each individual.
So this one's a stay-at-home because it's got a good food supply in the middle of its territory. We don't know where it sleeps during the day. What are the ship rats getting up to at night? How far afield are they roaming?
So they're ranging a much greater distance. The largest roaming ship rat we've recorded has been about 30 metres.
So yeah. 30 metres isn't very far. So when they're doing urban eradications, you probably need to have your traps and your bait stations quite close.
Exactly. That's what it would kind of point towards. But I would say that I haven't yet taken recordings from the entire activity period of a rat. They're active anywhere from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. even. Yeah, unfortunately for me.
Does this Norway rat share its territory, its home range with anybody else?
Yeah, so we have a couple ship rats further up the property. So far we haven't taken any recordings that would indicate an overlapping home range, but who knows.
So you're going to keep coming out here for a few more months?
A few more months till January, that's the idea. Getting progressively later / earlier. So yeah, eventually I'm going to have their sleeping habits of a rat, which yeah, isn't great for me.
And by the end of it, you'll be able to plot up some maps and put all those points where you found them on a map and go, okay, so this one turned up in an area that seemed to be 50 square metres, this one seemed to have a home range that was only about 25 square metres, whatever those figures might turn out to be.
Exactly. I'm also hoping to do some fluorescent tracking as well to get some sort of fine-scale movement patterns.
So how does that work?
So we basically alter a tracking tunnel, put in some sort of brushes coated in fluorescent powder. The rats go in, get a good dusting with this powder, and then I come back the following night with a UV light, and I'm able to kind of track their exact movements.
All right, so you'll see little glowing footprints running around.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
None of the rats that you've put collars on have managed to have been trapped by anybody doing backyard trapping?
Not so far, thankfully. So we're actually in touch with some of the community trapping groups in the area.
And they've stopped trapping for a while?
They're still trapping, but they're going to give me a heads up if they catch any of my rats.
Well, that's an interesting exercise. If they're not catching your rats, it just shows that there's a lot of rats out there that aren't going into traps.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I guess my rats are going to be very trap shy from the experience they had when we collared them.
Thanks, Henry. Henry McKenzie is a master's student at Victoria University of Wellington. We also heard from Stephen Hartley, who's director of the Centre of Biodiversity and Restoration Ecology at Victoria University, and Wellington Zoo vet Craig Pritchard. This Our Changing World podcast from RNZ first aired on the 7th of November 2019.
You can find this story again at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. We have a free weekly email newsletter and you can sign up for that on the website as well. RNZ Our Changing World, the podcast, is available wherever you found this episode. Why not subscribe if you haven't already? The chemistry podcast, RNZ Elemental, is still alphabetically celebrating the 150th anniversary of the periodic table of elements and has got up to sulfur and tantalum. If you'd like to get in touch, you'll find us on Facebook and Twitter at RNZ Science. Many thanks for your company. Bye for now. Mā te wā.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.